I'm Barbara Bray. Welcome to my Rethinking Learning podcast, where I have conversations with inspirational educators, thought leaders, and change agents. I am so glad that I have Renee Hawkins here today. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm just so excited to have you. I've learned a lot about you over the this whole past year, and I just felt like every time I'm following you, I'm learning so many new things. So I'm just going to tell everyone a little bit about you first, and then we're going to get right into our conversation, okay?
Okay.
So Renee Hawkins, it's Dr. Renee Hawkins. She's the principal of Maple Elementary School in the Smithville School District of Missouri. She was recently honored by being selected as a 2018 Missouri Association of Elementary School Principals Exemplary New Principal. And then I met you, I think we met on a panel with Adam Welcome, right?
Yes.
Your passion was so cool. I just had to talk to you. And then you started your own podcast, right?
Yes.
It's called Share Mo Ed, is that right?
Share Mo EDU.
Oh, Share Mo EDU with Eric Carlin. And we're going to talk more about that also. Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, this is great. So I always like to start out kind of just tell us a little background about you and your family, and then we'll get into about teaching.
Sure. So
yeah.
I think, you know, going into summer, it's always a time to reflect, probably because I met my husband in the summer. So I can say now that we met 25 years ago and we've been married for 23 years. My husband is Jason Hawkins, and he is a psychotherapist at Truman Medical Center in Kansas City. And we have three children. Our oldest is Serena, who's 19, and she just finished her freshman year at Northwest Missouri. Wants to be a music teacher. So we're really proud of her. I have a son who is 16, Harley Hawkins, and he's a true outdoorsman, loves football, loves to hunt, loves to fish. And then my youngest is Elaine Hawkins, and she will be a freshman next year in high school. So she's following in her sister's footsteps, loves to sing, loves drama.
Oh, well, congratulations on 25 years of marriage and these beautiful children.
Thank you.
It's really amazing watching them grow up, isn't it?
It is, yes. I don't know how they got this old.
Oh, it doesn't stop.
Right.
But it's wonderful because you're there for them, and it's really cool. So how come, how did you become a teacher?
I always wanted to be a teacher. I never thought I would be a principal, but I always wanted to be a teacher. My first year teaching, one of my good friends said, "You're going to be a principal someday." And I said, "I don't think so." But here I am.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I kind of want to know, my audience to know how you started, because and how you became a principal, but because it is an interesting background.
Yes. Well, I was a teacher for 11 years. I taught first grade, second grade, and fifth grade. I have moved back and forth from Florida to Missouri three times in my life. Little crazy fact about me, twice as a child, once as an adult. So my teaching experience has spanned from areas in Missouri to Florida and back. After teaching, I moved into an instructional coach role. And so I was in that role for 6 years and 1 year as a curriculum coordinator, the K-12 ELA instructional coordinator for the district. Following that, I went into administration. I was an assistant principal in Smithville for 2 years before taking over Maple Elementary as the lead principal 2 years ago. So I'm completing my second year as the principal at Maple Elementary.
Oh, and you told, when I had talked to you, you had told me the story of how it happened. Can you just share a little bit of that?
You know, have to remind me, what was my story?
Well, how you start, basically you came into the school, and I can't remember. It was preschool to sixth grade neighborhood, and then they have a K-2 building.
Okay.
I couldn't remember exactly, but it was kind of interesting. Now, isn't it a K-2, or is it a...
Currently, Maple Elementary just finished its last year as a K-2 school.
Okay.
We had a new name this past school year. we were Maple Elementary. Before that, we were the primary. So all of the kindergarten, first and second graders in Smithville were bused to Maple Elementary up until this past year. We are in the process of building a new elementary in Smithville. And so all three elementaries will now open as preschool through sixth grade schools in the fall. So my building's undergoing major renovations this summer. In fact, last week we just had to pack up and move out. We handed over our keys to the contractors and construction begins.
Oh, I can't wait to, I want to be there when you're doing this. Cause I, so I was on Twitter and I saw some of the pictures.
Yes.
Oh, well, let's go right in. Let's just talk about what you're going to do. It's, okay. It's exciting.
It is exciting. You know, one of our major changes next year with opening Maple Elementary as a preschool through sixth grade school is we are starting multi-age co-teaching. And so we are breaking down walls between six classrooms, and we will have sliding glass doors between those classrooms and multi-age co-teaching with first and second grade. So those first graders will get to loop and be with those teachers for 2 years. We're really excited about this.
Now, have they done any looping before? Is this new for them?
Looping's not entirely new for the district. There have been teachers within the district that have looped with students, but the way that we are doing it and making it consistent for those grades is new for us.
So, okay, because I'm really into multi-age co-teaching models, and just to completely redo your school like this, how did you get everyone on board?
Well, we talked about this before too, but we had leadership hour this year. And so 100% of our students participated in leadership hour and community service projects and just, you know, projects that would impact either our school or community or them as students. So when teachers facilitated those in a co-teaching model, they were on board. Of course, we had to go through the hard transition of who's remaining at Maple Elementary because I lost 2/3 of my teaching staff to the other two elementary buildings.
Oh.
Yes. So, you know, I belong to the department, Missouri Department of Education's Leadership Academy this past year, and we had regional meetings and we would get to tour different schools in the area. And so I toured a school and saw co-teaching with the same grade level. So two teachers, same grade level. And I came back to my superintendent and said, why are we just going to open Maple Elementary with the same model when we can make a difference? And so he said, I want you to research multi-age co-teaching. And that's where it really started. So once teachers got a taste of facilitating the leadership hour with another teacher and that co-teaching feeling, I had a lot of teachers interested, but nobody knew who was staying at Maple at that time. And we didn't really know what grades we wanted to start that in.
Oh, this is big because, I mean, not only if you're, because you're talking multi-age, so you're looking like a K-1, a 2-3, is that what you're
doing?
Well,
when we initially thought about it, we thought about spreading it out over the grade levels. So having K-1 try it, a 1-2, a 2-3, and a 3-4. We know 5th and 6th will be departmentalized, but it left one first grade and one second grade teacher and classroom not in the co-teaching model. And so planning was going to be really difficult. I didn't know how to place kids. You know, some would be in co-teaching classrooms and some would not. I didn't know how to make it fair. And so from there, we really streamlined and decided first and second grade would do this. And so I have three first grade classes and three second grade classes, and this is where we're starting.
Oh, well, actually, that's going to be kind of interesting because I know when kids are in a class with the same teacher for 2 years, those relationships get really strong. Plus with the kids, I'm not sure they can always be in the same class together, but it's going to be really a nice journey for them, and it'll be good for you to chronicle this and
right.
Yeah, and grab, you know, not only pictures and videos and but interviews of the kids and the teachers.
Yes, that's a great idea, Barbara.
Yeah, oh, I'm really good at doing that because I love this because I've seen it firsthand in different places of the country and in other countries where they moved to the multi-age co-teaching model. And the teachers have said, this really opened my eyes. I'm not the only expert in the room. I'm not the only person that has to do everything. There's another adult in the room. And the kids, here's the other thing that happens is you might have one teacher that's really good at direct instruction and another who is really good working with smaller groups or facilitating projects or something like that. So they have now that option to send kids different places. So what does that mean for the class structure? What does it look like now?
Well, I did promise my teachers that we would start slow. So we know it's more training on our end right now, you know, learning those co-teaching strategies and what's going to work best. We have some new curriculum where we know we want teachers to focus on their grade level curriculum. So maybe that's a time when we don't integrate the classes. So really, it's just starting small. We feel like workshop model is a great place to start it. As we look at social emotional curriculum that we use, that's a great place to start it and have some strong team building activities and collaboration among the multi-age students. So really just starting small and seeing what we can do with this model.
So you mentioned social emotional learning. So do you do anything like work the first 2 weeks of school, try not to bring in as much academics so they can really build that culture?
Absolutely. And then I would say all year.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. What I found is it's hard for teachers because we're all told to, you know, meet the standards and cover the curriculum. And so I always just seeing this model, teachers are saying they are able to uncover the learning more.
Right. Well, with the looping, especially, you know, those students that stay in the classroom know what to expect from the teacher. So there's not as much teaching of expectations at the beginning because you can hit the ground running. The teachers know the kids really well, know their strengths, know, you know, what they need to work on and can just go. But then we'll have a whole new group coming in. But the hope is that there will be peer models for those students. So again, they'll have a strong peer model to help them, you know, lead the way and help them realize the expectations. And
so it's going to be co-teaching 1-2.
Yeah.
First and second, but not 3-4, 4-5. Not yet.
Not yet.
So then those children will be moving up and eventually you'll be adding more.
That is our plan. Yes.
So what is the first and second grade classes going to look like? If you're going to have more kids in them or you're going to.
It's our typical class size. So 2 teachers with our typical class size. Right now, our second grade is a little small. So we're looking at 16 students and about 19 in first grade.
So how do they do the co-teaching if they're all in one class? Are there 2 classes and then they're, I'm trying to picture it. Are you taking down walls? Or?
We are taking down walls. There will be a sliding glass door between the walls.
Oh, a glass door so they can see each other.
Yes. Well, if we've thought about too, if we frost it halfway up, it can be a collaboration board. They can write on it.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I can't wait. So you have put together like a calendar of all the things that you do during the year. And are you going to take that back with you? I mean, with this new school now that it's pre-K 6?
Absolutely. Yes. Again, we'll have to focus on building a strong culture because we have a whole new team starting next school year, new staff coming into our building. And it's kind of like looping. Our current staff is staying and new staff is coming.
Oh my gosh. They're going to be excited. So you must have to do a lot of professional learning opportunities. Do you have more time for teachers to do some collaborative planning or?
Well, we have late start Wednesdays. So we have collaborative planning on every Wednesday. We have some PD time built in, but also really encouraging teachers to find their own PD. What do you need? Go find it. How can I support you? How can I give you time? We are a little crunched for time next year because with the renovation, the entire district is starting after Labor Day, and we're used to starting mid-August.
Oh, really? So will you go along a year then? Or?
Well, we cut back on some of our breaks, so it's not too long. We still get out in May as long as snow days don't affect us.
Oh, my gosh. So you have to have some dedicated teachers here because they're doing a whole different, you know, not only is the structure different, but the timing's different.
It's that way for everyone in the district.
Oh, so that's pretty amazing. And also having you go from a K-2 to a pre-K-6. So how big is your school going to be? How many teachers? How many kids?
We will have about 3 teachers per grade level. And we're looking at 400 students. So currently we have about 500 students, all kindergarten, first and second. But with the third elementary, I'll have about 100 less at Maple.
Oh, well, but it will be a different dynamic there because of the, So I remember you did different things. You labeled months like notable November, right?
Right. That was the start. Yes.
Was that the start? So do you want to just kind of go through like in notable November, what do you do there? What was that like?
Sure. So just the start of that, Dr. Carlin, you mentioned, Eric Carlin is the assistant principal at Maple Elementary. And so, you know, together we just realized how anxious teachers were feeling about the impending changes and finding out what their placement would be, who would stay at Maple and who would move on to Horizon Elementary or Eagle Heights or other two elementaries in the district. And we just realized that it was a time to put our head down and go to work. And so we came up with Notable November and threw a hashtag in front of it. And that was really the kickoff of our months and just, you know, pumping the passion at Maple and just making it fun for students and staff. We knew that we needed teachers to show up every day and be positive, even though it was a hard time and a time of transition. So encouraging them to show up every day for each other, be there for students and give it your all. So Notable November was the kickoff, and we really just focused on pumping the passion for staff, students, and teachers, or staff, students, and families. Probably our biggest fun in November was the staff talent show. And so Eric and I put out a preview of different talents that we had, encouraging staff to participate. They had to have a video submission of themselves, so it was all like a video showing the talent show. We had a staff breakfast. We promised them that we would only show it to the staff. We had some teachers hypnotize chickens. We had some teachers give directions for cleaning a bathroom. You know, just wacky and fun.
Now, you might want to do it different this year because you're going to start in September. Do you think you might move and do Pump the Passion earlier?
Probably, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned our podcast too. So we've kind of taken these hashtags into our podcast as well, asking our guests how they will make the month, you know, whatever the hashtag is, how they will beat that goal this month.
So, okay. So let's go off the monthly things because you just mentioned your podcast. You started it when? When did you start that with Aaron?
The podcast kicked off February 1st.
Wow.
Yes. Now, before that, we had some buildup to getting it going. I would say over Christmas break, I was really active on Twitter, and Adam Welcome reached out to me through a message on Twitter and said, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You need to do more. And I said, I'm good. I'm getting ready to open a school that's going to be preschool through sixth grade. I've got a lot of transitions going on. I'm really good. And he was like, no, you need to do more. You need to blog more. You need to start a podcast. His one little word was more, and he's pushed his more on me.
Oh, and yours is ShareMoEDU.
Yes.
I love that. And because I'm watching and some of the people you brought in, you already have 11 or more, or how many?
We are close to 20 at this time.
That is amazing. I know for me how long it takes and what you do, but that is just wonderful. The amount of work you're doing. So we're definitely going to put a link to it, share some of the things you're doing there because it's exciting. So I see you now taking down walls and changing the way people teach. How do you get the parents? I mean, how did you involve everybody to, you know, because you're bringing in new children, new teachers.
Right. It's been a slow process and a process that will have to continue. Luckily, the students that are coming back to Maple, they went through Maple kindergarten, first and second. Unless they're new to the district, they're coming back. So that's our theme next year is welcome home.
Oh, I love that. So, you know, Renee, the whole thing that's so cool is that you do something every month. So what are you going to do starting with September now?
Well, in September, we have two ideas floating out there. So it's either Seek Your Squad September, building that strong team as we come back to Maple Elementary and we start a new family there, or Celebrate September.
Uh-huh. And then you're going to...
One of them.
Oh, that's cool. And so when you do the September like that, you have your podcast, you bring in hosts, guest hosts, right? Or guest... how do you choose? There's so many amazing people out there.
There are so many amazing people. And we've really tried to find a balance of Missouri educators and then educators across the U.S. And, you know, authors and classroom teachers and new teachers and teachers with lots of experience. So really just, I guess, whoever we find on Twitter or Instagram that we get excited about, we reach out to that individual and see if they want to be on the podcast.
Oh, well, they'd be crazy not to be on your podcast. It's so fantastic. I love it. And I love Adam because he's kind of the one that brought us together. And I just see that you're doing some exciting things. You even had something, where was it, on learn catching? I was trying to figure out what that was. But maybe I should ask you, do you already have October, November, December? Or are you just going to wait and try to build them slowly? Is that what?
Those will probably recycle from last year.
Do you want to tell us what you had?
Sure. Well, I guess it started in November. So October, we have a couple ideas floating since we have not done it that month. We're either looking at hashtag optimistic October or hashtag opportune October, encouraging people to open themselves to new learning.
Oh, I like that because in the beginning of the year, you know, we're so busy just trying to get school going, but now we really want to get them to want to learn. And that's a good one.
Yes. And then we will keep notable November and daring December, encouraging people to take a bold risk. January, we had joined together January. We're better together. Phenomenal February. Make it extraordinary. In March, we did Meaningful March.
Oh, perfect.
Audacious April. More May.
More May.
More May, in honor of Adam, welcome. Rejuvenate June. So relax and re-energize.
Oh, I like that.
July is still a little up in the air. I think I may have to convince Eric Carlin on my ideas. I like find your jam July or justify your jam July. You know, get back into it. Find your why. It's time to start again. Authentic August or all in August. Again, relationship focus.
Well, I love the idea of having a theme. And then you take the theme not only with your podcast, but throughout the school. You also create newsletters, put things up on your blog, and you get it out there on Twitter and Instagram. Very clever. Very, very clever. I'm really looking forward to sharing and learning more. So the idea of you redesigning the school, you're taking before and after pictures, you're going to be talking to the kids. Oh my goodness. I want to definitely share these. I'm so excited. Is there anything else that you see that's happening that we, you know, people will want to know? I know I mentioned the Learn Catcher. I think that's your blog, right?
Right. It's Learn Caching.
Oh, Learn Caching.
Yes. It's a Weebly site. So, you know, if you would go to Learn Caching right now, I'm a little behind on blogging, but it's funny because recently we had Allison Apsey, who's the author of Path to Serendipity, on the podcast, and she was talking about her blog, and I said, oh, you're inspiring me to get back to mine. And she said, they need to hear your voice. You need to write. Get back out there. So she's right. I need to get back on it.
It's really important. I mean, I was just going to say the same because I try to put out something very often. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yes.
and then even writing a blog about you that goes with this podcast, I feel like it's really important for people to listen, but also be able to go deeper. And sometimes they need to be able to read your own voice and read, you know, some other stories about you that maybe they didn't get in the podcast. So
I feel like when I started my blog, it had to be lengthy and, you know, and then you just kind of change and realize, okay, I don't have time to write that much, but I can get little ideas out there, little bursts. And so I tried to do once a month for a while and I've just fallen off. I need to get back at it.
Well, use your themes.
Yes, I should.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share that I did not touch on?
You know, let's see, what can I talk about, Barbara?
No, it's okay. You did a good, you're, you,
Thanks.
I think we got everything. I mean, the main thing is that our reason why we see, maybe we should tell everyone we did talk before, but it was, she was bringing in all these new things and this changes. We said, we can't put that one up. We have to bring in these new ideas, especially since you're starting this whole new school, this whole new idea with multi-age co-teaching, which I'm still telling you, this is my dream. You're going to be my model school that I'm going to be writing about. You know that, right? Because it's to me, teachers work too much in isolation. This is a real opportunity for professional learning way beyond any kind of professional development that you could do or provide. So I'm very excited that teachers can also maybe keep a portfolio of their learning, share from, you know, pictures and student work and what's going on, because you'll be, it's so exciting. And they're so lucky to have you.
Thank you. Well, I'm lucky to be there.
Well, I need to thank you so much for spending this time with me today. This has been wonderful.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it as well.
And have a wonderful summer.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast series and my conversation with Dr. Renee Hawkins. So make sure you visit barbarabray.net to learn more about Renee and the amazing things happening at Maple Elementary. Look for a complimentary blog post with links and resources, and please subscribe so you can join the conversations.